Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Summers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, it is a good evening to you, and now you be at 8:05 and 5 seconds to go right along with it on a Wednesday evening on your fan. New York City. Steve Summers here, you there. Peter Hoffman, Antonio Grillo. Those two gentlemen on the other side, 1-877-337-6666 for another three-hour Wednesday schmooze. Right up until Sal Licata at 11, right here on your fan, New York City. But you're not going to have to wait until 11 to hear from Charles Davis, who does a lot of analyzing with the NFL on Fox. And Charles, thanks for a couple of minutes.
Thanks a lot for having me, Steve. Hope you're doing well. Happy football season.
Well, wait a minute. Baseball season isn't over yet.
Yeah, it may not be over, but once the fellas report for camp, then you know how it is, unfortunately. Look, I grew up when baseball was America's pastime. I absolutely know it, respect it, love it. There's no more fun for me than going to a ball yard and taking in a game and enjoying the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
But once football kicks in, it is a fight for attention for everyone else.
Yeah, but
the way it is nowadays.
No. I understand. And however, right now we're taking a look at exhibition.
Yep.
And we're taking a look at a lot of butchers and bakers and candlestick makers who, in a couple of weeks, as you know, Charles, will be back with their real jobs.
Yep. Totally understand that. The interesting part is how often I get grabbed about non-football football. And what I mean by that, Steve, is I have more people that talk to me about the draft than probably about real live football. So it just continues to, you know, I'm like, but they're not doing anything. Yeah, but I love the draft. The draft, you saw what happened in Nashville last year. So it just, the cycle just keeps going. I grew up on the hot stove league, man. You and I both know when we say hot stove league now to a kid, they look at us like, what are you talking about? The hot stove league was the bomb. The Sporting News had every box score of the minor leagues in there. So you tracked the players in your organization of your favorite team. And you knew what Steve Bye-Bye Balboni was doing in Nashville. And you watched him and you heard about Jose Canseco before he ever hit the bigs. And it's just not covered the same way for so many different reasons. And I miss that. I absolutely miss it. And you're right. A lot of those guys are going to be just like me. I tried out for the NFL. I didn't make it. I had to go find, as Chuck Knoll used to put it, my life's work. I absolutely understand. So I'm all into the pennants and the races and wanting to see how my teams are doing. But even preseason football, even though it's not well attended, people are still following it like crazy.
Oh, sure. And all right, let me ask you a couple things here. First of all, is there a marriage about to be with Jay-Z, with the NFL, with Roc Nation, and with Colin Kaepernick? What's going on, Charles?
Well, they already consummated it between Jay-Z and the league. They came to an agreement about, you know, what they're looking for, and we will see exactly how it looks going, you know, as we move forward. But they're talking about social activism, a lot of the causes that players have out there that we see, you know, that week that the league has My Cause, My Cleats, where each guy has their cleats adorned with whatever their cause or charity might be.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be other things that go along with that, and we shall see. But that doesn't mean that someone's going to sign Colin Kaepernick. You know, it just absolutely doesn't not, you know, you're not going to just look up and go, oh, Jay-Z, Roc Nation, Colin signing somewhere. That's not a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he won't, but you don't see anyone immediately just rushing and saying we're going to have it. But part of that, and in a weird way, it happened to Tim Tebow. If you're not the starter but you're garnering more attention than the starter, that could be an issue for a lot of ball clubs.
Yeah.
You know, you go when Tebow, you know, Steve, when Tebow was around, you didn't rush to the starting quarterback's locker. You rushed to the third string guy's locker, and that was Tim Tebow. And sometimes that's not good for a ball club. Mm-hmm. If Kaepernick signs, teams are going to say the exact same thing. They're going to rush to him, not to our starter, and that may cause some issues. We'll see. He may very well get signed, but I'm not saying it's a guarantee, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, and I would go along with that. Charles, is the NFL really concerned about social injustice, or is it possibly more concerned about offending its fans every single Sunday afternoon?
They're walking the line, and what I mean by that is, a lot of people see it as an absolute one way or the other, when I don't see it that way at all. A lot of what social activism is doing what's right. A lot of it is just social justice. And a lot of it is, what side of history are you going to be on when we write it down the road? And when we're talking about oppression, we're talking about people, you know, pick a number of causes that have happened in our nation, and then look back and say, oh, God, we used to do that? That used to happen, and we keep moving the bar along, but it's not. It doesn't have to be one way or the other. Hey, if you hear social activism and you're immediately turned off, I question where you're coming from, because social activism can mean so many different things that should be positive for our nation. It doesn't necessarily mean a fight, and a lot of times it should be, what's right for our country? What's right for people? What's right for the individuals and people we should be lifting up along the way, which is something our nation has done many times over, despite plenty of real big-time mistakes we've made along the way, too, or obstacles we put in our own way. But how many times do you see communities come together, Steve? Something goes down, the community comes together and lifts people up. I think that's what a lot of social activism is or should be.
We're talking with Charles Davis, of course, with the NFL on Fox. Charles, Antonio Brown, is he a head case making a case over what covers his head?
He's a head case making a case for what covers his head for no reason whatsoever.
He's a head case. He doesn't want to wear a safety helmet. What's going on with him?
He's a head case who catches 120 balls a year, so you figure out a way to try and make that work.
That's right.
And I will tell you another person, and it's a weird one, right? But I grew up a huge hockey fan as well. And, Steve, you remember when hockey players didn't wear helmets, didn't wear masks for goalies and all that other good stuff.
Right.
That came along, and then the league mandated everyone had to wear a helmet. But if you wanted to grandfather yourself in and sign a waiver, you could do that. And then once their careers ended, everyone else who came into the league, it was mandatory. I've seen a number of times Wayne Gretzky, the greatest hockey player ever, had the worst helmet on ice. They said it was absolutely worthless. And he wouldn't change it because that's what was comfortable to him. That's what fit. But it wasn't the smart play. Okay? Antonio Brown is not being given an option on that. Joe Staley, the all-pro tackle from 49ers, said given his druthers, he would have kept his old helmet, but the league rules forced him to change, and they actually forced him to change for the better. He would have been stubborn and not done it the right way. To me, this is turning something into an issue that shouldn't even exist. It's more of a look-at-me type of a thing as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But when you catch 120 balls a year and you've just been traded for, they're going to try and find a way to make this whole thing work. And at some point, he's going to wear a helmet that's league approved, and he'll be out there playing. Because by then, Steve, his feet will have healed from the cryotherapy accident he had as well. So we'll see him out there in a helmet. But right now, this is much ado about nothing. And if I were the Raiders, I'd just be going, oh, my God, can we just get past this and get you on the field, please?
Sure. The quarterback for America's team wants $40 million. Now tell me, Charles. Of course he's worth $40 million, isn't he? How were you laughing out loud, really? For how long were you laughing out loud on that one?
Yeah, it's laughing out loud because the players that should be getting the $40 million, you know, Brady doesn't take that much money. You know, he looks out for his team or has over the past, and now he signed a new 2-year, whatever, $70 million deal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that look, he's got the skins on the wall. He's more than worth it. You would think Breeze, right? You would think, you know, Philip Rivers should be in that conversation. You can just go right on down the line with Russell Wilson, all those players. Dak Prescott, I think the bar has been set very well by Carson Wentz's contract in Philadelphia. Very similar time frame in the league. Dak has won 2 division titles in the 3 years he's been a starter, and he hasn't missed a start.
And also, you can throw
all the way through.
Yeah,
all the way through. Now, I'm not saying he's worth 40, Steve. Yeah. I'm not going there. But whatever Carson Wentz signed for, which I believe was 32, that should be the discussion point for he and the Cowboys, and they should settle somewhere comfortably in that neighborhood.
And what about Russell Wilson?
That well.
And what about Russell Wilson? You got to throw into this mix here.
Listen, I mentioned him earlier, and Russell signed his deal. You know, he did that, I believe, last season. So he's taken care of with Seattle. You don't worry about that part. I just think that with comparable seasons, comparable time in the league, yes, Carson Wentz was headed towards being the MVP. Remember that year when he blew his knee out?
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is Dak Prescott has taken all of those snaps. They've won 2 division titles. He's won 2/3 of the games as a starting quarterback there. I think that the number that Carson Wentz put up with the Eagles is a number that ultimately we'll be talking about with the Cowboys and Dak, somewhere in that range, and I think that would be accurate for him. 40? I don't think we're getting anywhere close to 40.
Are you able to admit that Tony Romo is a better broadcaster than he was quarterback, Miles Davis?
He was a darn good quarterback, and he's an exceptional broadcaster. He is very good, and you know, we tune in, and all of us who do it, Steve, you know, when we talk to other people, when we listen to other people,
mm-hmm.
we all want to see if there's something we can take and add to our game. And Tony's upped a lot of people's games. There's no getting around it. With his ability to recognize things from his experience as a quarterback, with his enthusiasm for the game, et cetera, I think that Jim Nantz enjoys the heck out of working with him. They make an excellent pair, an excellent duo. And every week, there's a chance to learn something.
How good are the Cleveland Browns going to be with Odell Beckham Jr.?
On paper, they've got a chance to be very good. Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku trying to come into his own at tight end. They've gotten better on the offensive line. Of course, Baker Mayfield, the number one pick last year, who should have been the starter from day one, more than proved his wares. Miles Garrett on defense. They keep getting better on both sides of the ball. That's the best roster they've had in a long time, but they have to go out and prove it. And have you seen their early games? It's not easy for them. So here's the deal, Steve. This is a team that now actually has expectations. So if they get off to, let's say, a 1-4 start, and I'm not predicting that they are, but I'm just saying, let's say they stumble out of the gate, that great fan base that's always supported them and after a while just kind of resigned themselves to the fact that they were bad but still loved them, they'll be angry this year because their actual expectations that they should be in the hunt and in the fight, and I expect them to be, but I also don't think it'll be easy. I still think the run is the road in the AFC North still runs through Pittsburgh first. Baltimore have something to say about it, and obviously Cleveland will as well. I'll be surprised if Cincinnati's there. I think that they're a ways away, especially with A.J. Green's injury now. But I think those three are the ones you're going to look at throwing the blows at each other, and I start with Pittsburgh first in my book.
If you were the Giants, would you have gotten rid of not only Beckham Jr., but Landon Collins? If you were running the Giants, would you have let those two players go?
I don't know all the backstory to everything, but here's what you're looking at. You're replacing Landon Collins with Jabril Peppers in a lot of ways, and you're counting on Peppers' athleticism and maybe a little bit better coverage ability.
Mm-hmm.
Versus what Landon brings, because Landon brings the boom, you know? So maybe that's part of it with contracts. I think that if everyone is happy, you don't want to get rid of anyone. But they signed that big deal with Odell Beckham Jr., and there was a tacit thought, Steve, that when you sign that deal, you're kind of all in. And what were we, 3 weeks later, and he was chirping about the team already? I don't know that you can hold that and sustain that forever, no matter what your talent is. And by the way, it wasn't talent that was going to the playoffs every year. It's different if you're going to playoffs all the time. You put up with a heck of a lot more. It's the old Jimmy Johnson story at Dallas where he cut the 3rd string outside linebacker who fell asleep in a meeting. And the press asked him, why'd you cut him? Did he just fall asleep? Yeah. So what if that had been Michael or Troy or Emmett? I would have woken them up.
The value
to the team is so much different because of how they're playing and how they're winning.
Okay. How should I phrase this question? How good will the New York Football Giants be in 2019? Or should I ask you how bad they are going to be? Well, how should I phrase the question?
I like it the first way because I think they'll be an improved team. I think the offensive line improved when you got Kevin Zeitler. The offensive line improves when John Jalapio comes back and hopefully is able to play 16 games. Remember, he got hurt early last year. That right side of the offensive line was a major struggle. If Nate Solder can pick up where he left off the last six games of the season and play that way from the beginning, you're much better at left tackle. I'm a big fan of young Mr. Hernandez at left guard. I think he's going to be a Pro Bowl player before it's all said and done. That is an automatic increase and upgrade. Second year with Shurmur and crew. Do I say that they win the division? No. But do I say that they're improved? Yes.
And we had the owner, John Mara, yesterday talking about, well, he hopes, in so many words, Charles Davis of Fox with the NFL, he was saying, John Marin, you know what he had to say about Daniel Jones, that he hopes he doesn't see Daniel Jones at all in 2019. Meaning, of course, he's hoping, wishing, and praying that he can get an entire season out of Eli Manning as Eli tries to reclaim the prime of his career.
And what he's also saying is that if we don't see Daniel Jones all year, that means that not only is Eli playing well, the team's in the playoff hunt. It's a two-pronged deal. And look, I said before, and I stand by it, they're going to go with Eli to start the season. The team is going to play, and I think once their playoff fate is determined, that's when the hard decision has to be made by Pat Shurmur, Dave Gettleman, Mr. Mara, the whole crew. Do we make the move now and give the kid the experience? Now, here's the other part. If Eli struggles, doesn't play well, which I don't expect. I actually expect him to play well. But let's say he does struggle early. They're not doing very well. They make him earlier. You never know because here's the deal, Steve. In the old days, we drafted quarterbacks and we expected them to sit 2 or 3 years and no one ever questioned it. When was the last time we drafted quarterbacks early and they truly sat 2 or 3 years? It doesn't happen anymore. And when you spend the number 6 pick on a quarterback, you're looking to play him sooner rather than later.
Well, sure.
And it's all determined on how that team plays and if they're in the hunt and if Eli still is playing well. But I'm just telling you, if Eli could be playing well and they're losing games, they may make the move anyway because it's just time to get the kid going.
Well, here's the thing. Charles, if you were drafting Daniel Jones number 6, would you start him?
Typically, that's what you do when you draft a guy at 6. But the Kansas City model that Coach Gettleman cited gives them a great opportunity, and that was Alex Smith, a more than competent player, a Pro Bowl player. And you remember the year that Alex played and Pat Mahomes sat? Chiefs were a playoff team and got upset at home in the playoffs. They were favored to win. So if you have that model that works, I just think that the urgency may be increased in New York because that team is not on paper built the same way that Kansas City team was, where we expected them to be a playoff team and possibly a Super Bowl contender. We will be surprised if this Giants team makes that kind of a run this year. And so that's a little bit different urgency about what they do. But typically you draft a guy at 6, you're thinking he's going to play, again, sooner rather than later. And I go back to Cleveland last year, and I said it at the time, so this is not revisionist history. When Baker Mayfield was drafted and they said he was going to sit, I said mistake. You ought to know who you're getting. You ought to know it from the time that you drafted him and you analyzed him, you met with him. This kid wants to compete. And why are you not letting a kid compete on a team that won 0-16 previously? Made no sense to me. And that's the grudge he holds against, you know, Hugh Jackson and that team. Much more than anything else, you didn't allow me to compete early. And I remember I asked someone in Cleveland, someone in New York, why won't you let him compete? And they said, we don't want him to be saddled with the history of the franchise. And I said, as soon as you drafted him, he was saddled with the history of the franchise. This makes no sense to me. And you saw how that played out.
Mm-hmm. The New York, and we'll get to the Jets in just a second with Charles Davis, the analyst for the NFL with the Fox and the NFL Network as well. Who is a true wide receiver on the New York Football Giants? You have Tate. Now, we know from Tate he's going to miss the first four games. He's really a slot receiver. It's Sterling Shepard. Shepard is questionable for week number one. He, too, is a slot receiver. Now, Ingram, the tight end, is really a wide receiver, but they have him over there at tight end. Who is going to emerge as the number one wide receiver, true wide receiver of the New York Football Giants? Or maybe I should better ask you, who is going to be the leading receiver for the New York Football Giants?
It's going to be Sterling Shepard, because I remember him having done a ton of college games, and during that time, he would operate in the slot, he would operate out wide. He's going to be their top receiver, especially with Golden Tate missing the first four. Mm-hmm. And as you noted, Golden is much more of a slot guy, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, a running back playing receiver because of what he does with the ball after the catch. You know, he makes those guys miss. He gains additional yardage. You look over the years of Golden Tate in the league, you'll see he's one of the leading guys with yards after the catch. The best receiver, you noted who it is, Steve, is Evan Ingram. He's listed as a tight end, but he will run a lot more flex plays, wide receiver type plays with his mid 4.4, 4.5 speed. And if he's healthy all year long, I expect him to make a real jump in his game. But Sterling Shepard will be their guy. Now, I know that they got Corey Coleman got hurt, mm-hmm. from Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
I truly was never expecting him to be that much of an impact player. I know the Giants had him as like the number three receiver. He has not done it before. I wasn't expecting that jump anyway. I hate the fact that he got hurt, so he can't prove me wrong on that, because mm-hmm. it'd be nice to mm-hmm. see. But I was skeptical about him assuming that role anyway. I think Sterling Shepard is going to be their top wide receiver coming back from the broken.
And he, of course, with other players on the team, but Shepard, like Tate, has had the most success out of the slot as well. But here's mm-hmm. the interesting thing. Would you laugh at me if I said to you that I think the leading receiver for the New York Football Giants will be Barkley?
No, I wouldn't laugh at that at all, because of the ability that he has and the skill that he has. Saquon Barkley, in a lot of ways, a much better dynamic runner, but he's Roger Craig. Mm. Remember Roger Craig with San Francisco?
Oh, sure. He caught passes and he
thousand,
ran.
Thousand,
yeah.
You know? That's what Saquon Barkley is. He's that type of a player that you've got to account for him out of the backfield and not just on the check down stuff. Saquon can find a way to get deep, and it's not just on gimmick plays either. So they can run him in a variety of ways. Wouldn't shock me at all if he turned out to be that guy.
And he's got,
one of the things the Giants want to do is play a little bit of ball control as mm-hmm. well and help out their defense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the defense. They don't have a pass rusher. And we're not so sure about the secondary, the linebackers. You know what I'm saying, Charles?
I know.
A lot of question marks with that defense.
A lot of question marks out there. You can see some individual talent, but you're right. When you game plan for them and you say, okay, who's the guy that's going to wreck me in the pass rush, either inside or outside,
mm-hmm.
that person has to emerge for the Giants.
All right. In the AFC East, are the Jets, with a new head coach, new coaching staff, some new players, and a quarterback who many Jet fans are looking and hoping and praying that he develops into the franchise quarterback with the Sam Darnold that they hope, not since Joe Namath. Is it time for the Jets or anyone else, Charles, in the division to put an end to the dynasty that comes out of Foxborough?
No, not this year. No. No, no. The AFC East is New England's. They will continue to run it for the foreseeable future. What you're looking for out of the other three is not necessarily pushing New England, but can they put themselves in a spot where they can contend for a wild card? Can one of those other teams emerge and be that team? Can it be Buffalo, the Jets, or Miami? Right now, we'd be skeptical about all three, but I can say unequivocally, mm-hmm. We should not be talking about those three upending New England and winning the division. Their goal is to try and get in position to fight for a wild card spot. Can they do it? Well, we see it every year. Worst to first in divisions. Teams get better. The league's built that way. And I like a lot of the moves the Jets have made in the offseason. And getting Ryan Khalil to play center, if he can be fully healthy and play 16, because Ryan was committed to being retired and then realized he didn't want to be retired, so he's trying to get in shape and in a hurry. He is a terrific pivot, and what a great addition for a young quarterback to have that experience in front of him.
Yeah, and they have two players on that offensive line who are new, and Jet fans are hoping improved. Very important to protect Sam Darnold. What do you expect out of Le'Veon Bell? Do you think he's going to, after missing all of last season, he says he's ready to play. You think he's ready to play, Charles?
I do. I absolutely do. I don't see running backs knocking off a heck of a lot of rust. You know, we can do the old fresh legs debate with a year off or whatever. John Riggins' best years came after he had the holdout, stayed away, and gave us one of the great lines in sports history when he came back to the Jets. And remember his immortal line? I'm broke, I'm bored, I'm back. It was the greatest. I love that line. And Riggo, in his 30s, still had juice and was running in the Super Bowl and running over and past and around people. I'm not saying Bell's anywhere close to that yet in terms of age. I don't think the 1 year off is going to affect him. I think that they will find very good ways to make use of him, both running it and catching it out of the backfield. I expect him to have a good year.
Adam Gase, Greg Williams, are they going to make a difference?
They will, because here's the thing. Gase got the job in Miami based on his work as a quarterback guy and as a guy who runs offense. Williams has been around the block multiple times as a defensive coordinator, and this is the right type of team for him, a mix of youngsters and veterans and guys who haven't won much recently. So they'll grab onto his message in a hurry and play with that type of aggression and abandon that you're looking for. I'm not saying that again. I told you before, it doesn't put you immediately in the playoffs. It doesn't make you beat New England and win the division. But I like some of the pieces we have here. Jamal Adams is a safety everyone has to account for. Okay, I think getting C.J. Mosley was huge at inside linebacker. And Avery Williamson is underrated as an inside linebacker player. And then up front, Leonard Williams now has a playmate in Quentin Williams. And when Quentin Williams learns to shave, because, God, was that the beautiful, most beautiful baby face you've seen at the draft? When he learns to shave and is up there with Leonard Williams, that helps you big up front. And I think those guys will grasp onto what Greg Williams has to offer in a big way.
All right, before I let you go, and I can't thank you enough, Charles, for giving us just about a half hour and with listening to you. Just a pleasure to have you on. Give me your Super Bowl.
Oh, boy. Well, I was talking with a colleague of mine recently, and he threw out Kansas City coming out of the AFC. And who did he say in the NFC? He didn't say Dallas, which a lot of people are saying.
No.
I think that he said coming out of the NFC. Oh, my God, I'm blanking here for a minute. I'm trying to remember who he gave us. But I do like Kansas City in a big way. Not in a big way. In a good way come out of the AFC. But here's the issue there.
Well,
the Chargers are going to push them.
Yeah, well,
Chargers
not
will push them out there.
Okay, but not the Rams.
Now, well, look, the Rams are still going to be good, but I think Philadelphia is a team to keep a real eye out in the NFC. I really like what they're doing. I like their depth, getting some guys back from injuries. They don't have to play with the mantle of being the Super Bowl guys. Wentz has played 16 before. It's actually gotten overlooked, Steve, because he did it as a rookie, took every snap. And then the last 2 years have been injury plagued. I think this is the year that he gets back, gets his mojo back, and plays really well. I'd keep an eye out on Philly. I'd love to see a Philly-Kansas City Super Bowl. That'd be a fun one.
Well, nobody here would.
Yeah, of course not in New York, but I'm just saying, could you imagine Andy Reid and Philadelphia and Patrick Mahomes and Carson Wentz? That'd be a Super Bowl for the non-New York Giants fans.
All right, we'll hold you to it. Charles, the best to you, and again, thanks, and have the great 2019.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. You continue to have a terrific 2019, and I'll continue to watch the baseball pennant races as well. Take care.
Charles, thanks a lot. Charles Davis with the NFL with the Fox. All right, we'll take a break and then get back to your telephone calls a little bit later on. Eric Burns of the Major League Baseball Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.